I'm coming live from the Music Garage Chicago.
So they're listening to Six Wings Fried Hard. What is this podcast about?
This podcast is about two
rude boys
from Chicago that are still exploring their friendship through music and current events.
So let's talk about releases and episodes real quick, because to date, we've recorded a bunch of stuff that we banked, and we did it chronologically. But this episode is going to be the new episode 6 out of order. So the timeline is getting all misconstrued here. All right?
As long as I'm not the one that got to handle it.
No, I'll take care of this part. It's per your request. So I actually thought before we get into our album, let's talk about this. We're going to have an official cancellation of an episode, yeah?
We have to. We have to replace them with the Holophonics.
We already have Holophonics episode. We're going to replace them with MU330.
Okay, fine. But this is what you need to understand, man.
Yeah.
If you didn't read it, whether you read it or not, and we can address it on there if you want to.
Let's do it. Yeah, give some background.
That dude is an asshole. And I don't think it happened on the tour that we were on.
Uh-huh. But?
I don't want to give names. And the only reason I don't want to do that.
Yeah, no names. This is anonymous.
No. I can give band names. I don't want to give person names only because I don't want to fuck up and say the wrong name at the wrong time. Because you know I'm bad with names. And only two people matter anyway.
Right.
As far as this goes. And I don't know these bands that well.
Mm-hmm.
As a lot of people may know, like, I've been promoting for years in Chicago.
Oh, yeah.
Mostly ska bands, but everything. Other than being in bands and all that other, like, cool stuff that comes along with being in a scene. Or trying to help keep a scene or whatever you would say. You know, like, I'm one of those people in Chicago and, like, I'm not even sure which one. I'm pretty sure it was the Holophonics. But either way, the Holophonics and Be Like Max were on tour together. I believe they did two different tours. Just read up on the story. It came out like a month ago. The singer of the Holophonics is the one that released it because it's his story. And you're going to get a more accurate account if you read his side as opposed to the Be Like Max guy. So basically read the side of the accuser, not the abuser. Especially if all of that stuff is up, and especially between both of their stories, you're going to get the more, like, you're going to get an actual account from the accuser as opposed to, like, this non-apologetic apology that came out on the Be Like Max page. But long story short, without me getting too deep into it, without the story in front of me, and yes, I haven't read it in a while, the singer of Be Like Max, over time and in front of people, I think the big time where it, like, kind of hit his head, that, like, sent it over the top, sexually harassed the singer of the Holophonics.
Like, in a hateful way, or in a, like, making him uncomfortable? Like, not that it matters, but just...
That's not necessarily the intention any of the time. So I guess you could always call it hateful if it's an evil act.
Well, that's true.
But you know what I'm saying? It's like, I don't know. I don't think it was too... You know what? Let me back that off, because that's going to sound bad, too. It's shitty that he did that in general. Me trying to break down why he did it, I feel like I can't go there.
Fair enough.
Like, you putting it in a hateful way. Okay, put it like this. Because you know what I mean? It's like, you can't go too deep into that because I don't fucking know. Like, fuck it. Was it based in hate? I don't think so. Because it's like, you know, I don't think that's usually based in, I hate this person.
Uh-huh.
But, like, you're still taking advantage of the person.
I guess here's what I'm trying to ask, because I didn't read the thing. Is this, and it sounds almost for sure like it's not, there's no, like, really two sides to this. Like, oh, one person said it was harassment, the other said I was just flirting. Like, it ain't a thing like that at all, right? You're saying it's something much bigger.
It's for sure much bigger, and he for sure sexually harassed him.
Well, that's fucked up.
And it happened more than once. You know, and that's what I'm saying. It's like, I don't want to be, like, so vague in it to say, like, oh, this didn't happen. It's like, no. It happened, and he should be ashamed of himself.
All right, because you sent me a thing that was like 80 pages long, and I was like, man, they need some TLDR on this. I just couldn't handle it. But I know you went through it, and I'm taking your word on it, that, like, it is that fucked up. It's not a misunderstanding, and that sucks.
And it was more than one occasion, too.
See, that's even worse, because there's always a chance, not that anybody gets a first strike, depending on what you did, but there is a realm in which you're like, hey, man, you did something not cool, and then maybe it shouldn't happen again.
Yeah, and honestly, a lot of times, which, like, I'll say this, too, situation by situation, if you decide to forgive a person because if you are the accuser and you decide to forgive that person and not make it a big deal because something happened one time, that's your decision too. Like, you know, because maybe it is something that you go work out, especially if it's a friend. But when you have an example of somebody doing something specifically to you more than once, then it's like, that's not, it's a whole different level. So it's just looked at a little bit different now.
So that is something then that will always be, I should probably go read this, I guess, at some point, because the main thing I wanted to unpack with you is just this conundrum of, like, well, what does that mean now? Does that poison all the music and everything?
You know what? I didn't even think about that. I didn't think about that angle of it. Should people still be able to listen to whatever they want to? We could talk about that in a second.
Yeah.
We could talk about that. We should talk about that, because that's deep. Before we answer that, I'll say this much. Even if you're okay with people listening to whatever they want to listen to, when people are out here doing disgusting acts, you can't be out here worshiping them.
Agree with that, yep.
Case in point, like, before that, if we were going to talk about them on here in a positive light, it's like, that's, you just can't now, you know?
Which is exactly what I did, because I loved that album before any of this information came out.
Yeah, and, like, admitting that isn't bad. It's not bad to admit that. But, like, yeah, like, that's all I'm saying. It's like, after that, we can't, like, do an hour worshiping them or promoting them.
That's a fair point. And that is the reason to take it down, actually. I mean, if we wanted to go back at that and have an in-context conversation, that might be one thing. But our analysis, at least on my end, I didn't re-listen to what you said, but it was glorious. That was one of my favorite albums that came out that year.
Yeah, and, like, the only thing is, like, that's all I'm saying, too, is, like, especially when something is in the heat of it happening, you for sure don't work, you don't glorify those people.
Right.
That's shameful. And, like, I also personally feel like he did a bad job of owning up to it.
That's even worse, I think.
I don't appreciate vague apologies where you also look like you're trying to, you're not really taking responsibility. And with stuff that big, sometimes you just got to be like, I fucked up.
That's got to be line one, yeah.
And, like, let me be clear about this, too. The info came out at least a month ago. I haven't really read much of that shit since then, because we all get busy. Yeah. And, like, a lot of people, like, if, like, you know, I know this is the first few episodes, but, like, from what you could tell, like, we pretty busy people. We, like, you know, we just, like, kind of smoking on catching up on this shit as best as we can. So, but you know, like, so some of this information will be stuff where it's like, if you want to get more into it, this is us bringing the info, look deeper into it yourself. But I doubt anybody in there with, you know, any type of heart would be like, oh yeah, this is okay to treat people like this.
Well, that's fucked up. I wish maybe the accuser had been a little more concise so I could have got right to the facts, but the part I did read enough where they were like, you know what, there's a complex situation. I feel like I need to tell my whole story. And I respect that point of view. It sucks that you got to be in a position where you got to make a statement.
Yeah.
All right. Now, let me add just a thing to the mix. I used to work up in the Valley, which means I worked on Ventura Boulevard because that's the only place that anything is in the Valley. And on Ventura Boulevard, not far from where I worked, opened up a little wing shop. And the owner proprietor, who was there every day running this business, you know, not like a person that bought something and is just getting a cash machine, but like was a small business owner working hard, I recognized, and it took me a while to figure it out, it was one of the dudes who was a small-time player on The Cosby Show, like Denise's husband or something, right?
You talking about the light-skinned guy, Elvin?
No, not Elvin. One, like, a less popular character than Elvin.
The dark-skinned, tall guy.
Yeah, yeah.
I know who you're talking about. Where did you say you saw him at?
It closed up, but while I was working there, he had a restaurant on Ventura Boulevard. And I'd go there once a month or so. It was good. He was there every day working hard, running this relatively small restaurant, which is to say he was working hard for his money. So I'm sure he probably was getting a check off the Cosby Show, but if he was, he used it and he needed it. He wasn't like rich as can be where he didn't need to mess around. Now, obviously the Cosby Show don't air anymore, which is probably for the best. But think about all the people who were getting a check off of that and now it's gone and they didn't do shit.
Two things. Yeah. So Elvin got more lines than him in there and he got clowned because somebody saw him as the manager at Whole Foods like 2 years ago in New York. He got clowned about it. It went viral. They were taking pictures of him, which is horrible to do to somebody.
Yeah, that is.
So if that happened to Elvin, who was more popular, then not saying it's going to happen to the other guy. But of course that other guy need a job too.
Yeah.
Because they both didn't do much. But the funny thing about it is Elvin, before they gave made fun of him, was in a random episode of Always Sunny.
Yeah, he was good in that.
Yeah, he was on this season too, and he was good again. But they're also using him in Power now. I know you probably haven't watched that, but it's in 50 Cent's Universe of Stars shows. And I'll tell you something. You haven't watched Power, Kyle, but you would like Power.
Is it Brian Michael Bendis? Is it from the comic?
No, motherfucker.
Okay.
No.
All right.
It's from the brain of 50 Cent.
Oh, okay. What's he at with inflation these days?
You wanted me to laugh, right?
Well, I'm going to drop in a laugh track either way.
You should sometimes. I'm also interested how you're going to cover up my niggas going forward.
I'll get Lupe to play the trombone.
I think Lupe's trombone days is over. Oh, speaking of trombone players, Marcus Rice, I could do an hour on that motherfucker.
What is he up to?
I don't know if you know this, but in high school, he was on the bowling team too.
I knew something about that.
Yeah, he wasn't like, you know, like, it was basically me and just folks. If you want to just be truthful about it. Like, the bowling team was like, we made it to the city championship every year. But it was like me dragging him. And then I would go to state by myself because you qualify as a team or go as an individual. So I made it to state every year I qualified, which I feel great about. It's an accomplishment.
Yeah.
Marcus was on the team the last 2 years. This motherfucker be posting himself every day at bowling alleys for like the last 3 or 4 months now. Like, just talking about how bowling is like his favorite thing in the world and like, how his dream was to make it to state and he never did. And he posts shit like that every day. And I'm like, you was bowling 110. And I don't know if anybody out there, no, y'all gotta know 110 is bad. Like, a lot of people who don't bowl a bowl 110 and walk out like feeling like the man.
Yeah.
That's still really low for the record. But like, you know, like I can't shoot 110. If I shot 110, I would quit bowling forever. And, like, he'll still shoot 110. I just think it's funny because, like, he posts himself bowling for, like, 4 hours in the bowling alley every day. But, like, he also be posting that his knees are real bad. So when he posts himself bowling, he don't be bending his knees. He just be bending at the back. So guess what's going to go next?
The back.
Yeah. But I haven't said anything because I think it's funny. I'm waiting for the day that he posts that his back went out. I don't feel like I had a hand in it. Is that evil?
A sin of omission? I'm not sure.
I just think it's funny, but also I don't like it because every now and then, the reason I don't like it, because every now and then he'll post about how he was the team captain when he was a senior, which I don't think is true. It's like he be posting stuff that make it seem like he was like trying to make it.
Like deep into it?
Yeah, like he was really good at it, but it's like, no, dude, you shot 110 your whole career. And then even when he be posting himself live at Bone Nellies every day now, he'll shoot 150 sometimes, but that's still bad too. If you're trying to act like you really good, you know what I'm saying? It's like, no. Post yourself shooting 250.
At least.
Yeah. You don't shoot 250, don't fuck about it.
Oh, that's funny. What kind of comments do he get? Is this on Instagram or what?
He get all types, because you know a lot of people can't bowl, and like since his ball like hook a little bit, to, like, the layperson, he do look like he decent. Like, he will look decent, not great to anybody. but because people have seen pros on TV. But then you'll see me walk in next to them and throw my ball and be like, oh, that looks like what they do on TV. Now, I'm not saying I'm as good as the people on TV because I'm not. I don't bowl all day every day. But I'll look like I am next to you.
Mm-hmm.
I can throw it the way they throw it, especially like on a regular house shot, which is a whole no another story. But no, we can stop talking about this. I only brought this up because, you know, he's our old trombone player.
Yeah, he did some tenure in the Judgmentals.
Another one of our... We had, man, you know what? Honestly, I feel like our best trombone player was probably Serhii. And he hates you. Pretty sure he hates you.
I think he might.
Like, he just stopped talking to you and just would not.
Yeah, man. Who knows?
No, maybe he don't. I hope he okay wherever he was at. I honestly only met that dude a few times and I thought he was cool.
He was, dude. It would be a dream to get him on this show. Him and that whole crew I ran with, Jacob and Mike. I see Mike doing some sort of woke thing online a lot. It's cool.
Wait, Mike the guitar player?
Yeah.
That first guitar player? With the black hair?
Mike that kind of looks like Ron Jeremy?
He wasn't fat, though.
I think you're thinking of ska band Jim.
That's who I'm thinking of.
Yeah.
Oh, you know who? I literally, this is a throwback blast from past. People out there might know who this is. Geronimo. You remember him?
Geronimo.
He was in Not Too Good, I think.
Oh, I didn't get to know the Not Too Good people all that well. Except there's a Russian guy that is connected to that band that emails me every couple of years for reasons that aren't important. But what about Geronimo?
He just, first of all, he was actually a really good bowler too. Probably the second best ska bowler in the scene to me.
Damn.
But he randomly activated his Facebook a few days ago. I don't know what for, but he like posted and I saw it and I was like, oh, that's cool. Because it's always good to see cool people from the scene that you haven't seen in 15 years.
Absolutely. All right, so before we get into our review of MU330 Crab Rangoon, let's just put a capstone on this topic. Oh, actually, in the Cosby thing. Like, what do you think about that? That's fucked up, right? Like, all those people who obviously could use a check must have been getting something. Not enough to not work, but maybe they got their insurance covered or they got their car note covered off the syndication, and that's gone now.
So going back to that, what are you sure it's gone?
It's gotta be. Who's putting that on TV?
He was acquitted, sir.
For real?
I think it was some...
That's not what happened.
It was some shady doings, but he can't be tried again.
Was Johnny Cochran involved? Like, what? So for real?
You know what? I was about to say OJ is his own breed, but they both they own breed.
Yeah.
They both did some great... Yeah, we ain't got to get into it, but
yeah. But I guess the thing I'm driving towards is there's media, and then media can be produced by and therefore attached to a poisonous person. And that's a weird dilemma in a lot of ways.
Dude, I'm not going to lie. I don't know what the fuck you just said.
Well, like, okay, we're not going to post our original episode where I said I like this album. Should I stop listening to it?
No, I didn't hear what you said is what I'm saying. I got distracted.
But, like, what do you think?
Say it again, motherfucker.
Okay, all right. There's a piece of art. Is it independent of its creator? What if we find out the creator was an asshole? Can we still appreciate the art?
I feel like we do that already. Even if we, like, let's go back in time. Aren't we already doing that?
Point to the first one.
I don't want to say the wrong one, but is it Paul McCartney?
I don't think Paul ever did anything bad. Paul's
Which
pretty...
one was... Oh, fuck. I'm going to sound bad if I start naming names I don't know what I'm talking about. one of them was married to an Asian lady.
John. John Lennon and Yoko Ono. And he was assassinated.
See, like, so... For the record, but was he assassinated for treating his wife poorly?
No. As far as anyone knows, he was great to Yoko.
What?
Yeah.
Are you sure about that?
I actually know a little bit about the Beatles. I'm getting ready to watch this new Beatles documentary. That's how into them I am.
Wait a minute. I feel like I heard different about that.
All right, let's see what Google can do. Did John Lennon have kids? Die, have siblings, write Imagine. These are the suggestions. Oh, did John Lennon kill Stuart Sutcliffe?
Me?
That, sounds, That sounds like a good one for later.
He killed Stuart Sidcliffe, so
bad man. Did John Lennon hit Yoko Ono? There's no way.
He did.
Oh, shit. John Lennon admitted that he struck Yoko. John was an abusive person, was not just women, but anyone and everyone. He was both physically and mentally abusive, according to Cora. All right, so...
So now you know, but you didn't know that, right? See,
I was,
and he was, that was 50 years ago now. So it literally just got buried.
I was imagining all the people living for today, all right? That is fucked up. How did I not know that?
Because for whoever they want to, they bury it. And that's why, like, a lot of people not putting Michael Jackson on TV, but they not taking him off.
So here's the thing. I never looked into the Michael stuff. Partially because I don't want to believe it. But it wouldn't surprise me if he's innocent.
If he's innocent?
Yeah.
Everything that you just said is fucked up.
The popular consensus is that something weird happened with Michael, and I'm not sure if I believe it.
You don't want to believe it, and you think he might be innocent. That, like, but, like, that's all blind. Like, look, let me tell you something. Michael Jackson was fucking little boys, okay? He was fucking shit out of those little boys.
Like, did you look into it? Do you know for sure, or are you just, like, assuming?
I know!
Okay.
I know R. Kelly was fucking little girls. I know Michael Jackson was fucking little boys.
R. Kelly belonged in jail, 100%.
Here's what you need to know about Michael Jackson. Michael Jackson was born in the late 50s. If he could have got to live life the way he wanted to live it, he would have been a little gay boy in the 60s. But he wasn't allowed to be. Because the second his dad thought he saw that, he beat the gay out of him. That's wrong. That statement sounds crazy. But I know what I'm talking about. I know what he tried to do.
That's highly plausible.
It's not plausible, but that's what he thought he was doing.
No, what I'm saying,
he shouldn't have been doing that. But also, and this is all I'm gonna say, and like I know I'm right about this. He didn't get to have a childhood.
Yep.
And he would have been gay. If he could have been, it would have been hard for him to be through the 60s, 70s, 80s, all that time, and be as big of an artist as he was anyway. Not saying it would have been impossible, especially as great as he was.
Yeah.
He maybe could have been groundbreaking. But the fact that his life was altered by his dad. Like,
yep.
It's his dad's fault. Between having to become a touring artist at, like, fucking 7 years
Three
old.
3 years old, yeah, whatever it was.
Not having a childhood.
Yeah.
And not being able to love the way you want. Sometimes stuff like that can lead to you, like, having a warped sense of reality. So, yeah, have all of those issues and then have too much money and then see what happens.
Yeah. So, the not having a child...
Neverland.
Yeah.
Never. Look at this shit.
Hold on. That's not evidence of anything. You give any person way too much money, they're going to do something stupid. Probably several things stupid. Do you know what I would do if I was a billionaire? Do you know how, like...
Name the other person you know that did that.
That built a Neverland
Name
ranch?
Name one. Don't Google it. Just name one. Like, yeah, people probably did
Paul
that
Allen.
Shit.
Huh? Paul Allen did something weird. He built, like, a Narnia house on top of a mountain.
Did he do it first?
No, after Michael.
Okay, who did some shit like that before Michael Jackson? Who built a children's playland?
I bet if I looked into Henry Ford or, you know, a bunch
so
of those
other
dudes.
Other child rapist. Other child rapist.
I don't know that he did that. He may have. See, now that's the shit I'm talking about. Like, where I don't even know. I bet if I Google it, it's true anymore.
Maybe, yeah, but see, you thought, because you thought I didn't know what I was talking about with Yoko Ono, but I saw a special last year that basically said that he did that. They try not to say it and they try to make it seem mild. But if it's evident at all, he's probably whooping her ass. Case in point. You know much about Ray Rice from the Baltimore Ravens?
No, I might have heard that name, but I don't know nothing about him.
Ray Rice, Baltimore Ravens, I say 4 or 5 years ago. hit his wife, got suspended for 2 games. The video came out of what he did. He looked like Tyson delivering that punch to his wife.
Oh, boy.
And then you see him picking up her limp body, dragging her off the elevator. That went from 2 games to he never played in the NFL again, just from us seeing the video.
That sounds right. I think that's probably appropriate.
It sounds right, but it also sounds fucked up at the same time, right? Oh, because the video got leaked. They were done suspending him.
Yeah, they didn't know how bad it was.
He was about to play, and he would probably still be playing. After that, after it showed what it looked like, he never played again. So imagine all of these craps. Imagine if we could see him beating Yoko Ono.
Yeah, man, the video.
So people can feel whatever way they want. They can worship whoever. But remember that part when you listen to these groups. Because, like, if it's known he did anything to her, yeah, he was fucking her up. I'm not going to give him, like, any, you know, like, oh, like any, what am I looking for? Any excuses over anybody else. It's all fucked up. If anybody, it's all fucked up. But yeah, a lot of them. Ray Charles, I'm pretty sure, was doing some fucked up shit. At least what he could.
Yeah, like, so here's what's the most upsetting thing about the John Lennon thing. Like, it looks legit from the, you know, one Google search I did. And that there just ought to be an asterisk there. So, like, when Linda and I went someplace, and where did we go? The plantation of, I want to say, Benjamin Franklin or Thomas Jefferson. Jefferson. They, like, they told kind of both sides of the story. They were like, Jefferson, like, you know, he did good things, but he was a slave owner, and he had kids with these slaves. And it's, like, a very complex story, and they didn't. They just told a story, right? They gave you all the facts. And it, at some level, that's all you can do, you know? And then you make of those facts what you will. I don't know where I was going with that.
Well, if you don't know, you know I don't know.
But at least, I guess, in that case, I felt like it was an honest presentation of, like, we have good material and bad, and we're putting it all on the table. The fact that I never heard this John Lennon stuff is kind of fucked up. Because, like, I know a lot about the Beatles. Like I said, I'm getting ready to watch that documentary about them that just came out. But on the Michael stuff, I know he feels like he doesn't have a childhood. That's his whole, like, big thing. Like, self.
But I believe that. And, like, that's not even me getting that from somebody. I'm sure it's been talked about and maybe even said it. This is just straight up analysis. Like, you could look at his life and tell. It's like, yeah, me and my kid just like us, dude. He just older than us. We both from Chicago, like Chicago. We both from Chicago. He from Gary. That's basically fucking Chicago.
Similar. I mean,
you know that. It's like Gary, Indiana is 40 minutes from Chicago, Illinois. It's not much different of an experience from what we would have came up with.
Yeah.
And like seeing what he turned in, like seeing what his life mutated into, it's like a lot of that is obvious. Like look at his kids. Those are not Michael Jackson's fucking kids. He married a white woman, and despite him wanting to look white, he got a dick. You seen those fucking kids?
I haven't recently, actually.
Even when he put the motherfucker over the balcony, you could tell that wasn't his kid. And what the fuck was that?
I never thought about that.
See, that's what, even that, what was that, Michael? He was really odd. Like, if I was the dad, I would have been like, no, you can't see the kid. I don't care how much money. That's my seed. That's what I would have said. He was raising them over the balcony. I would have came out and be like, no, them my kids. Them ain't Michael's kids. He got another dad. Them ain't Michael's kids. Whatever white man that is.
The thing, and I know Joe Jackson was abusive. That's a known thing. There's no hiding that part. That was understood.
Joe Jackson was fucking them kids up.
Yeah.
But man, was he a good band director.
I mean, you and I are from a certain era when, like, that was the way things were done a little bit. I'm not, you know, I'm not endorsing anything.
Oh, well, in fairness, no, I'm going to tell you this much. My band director in high school, he was not hitting kids. But, like, in fairness, he had his own issues, but he wasn't hitting kids. Now, I did see band directors hit kids in my time, and I would have never settled for that. Partially because, one, I would have just been good enough not to get hit because it's a pride thing, too. And I always wanted a good enough kids in band anyway. So, fine. But if it would have came down to it, I don't think I would have been able to take the blows, man. Like, especially, like, around year 2000, I don't know his name. Junior High School's band director. I was at the Prep Bowl in Chicago. I think his name was Mr. Keys or some shit like that. He was really, like, let's say he was, like, 5'7", 5'8". But probably like 350. So just big dude, stocky dude, like short. The Prep Bowl is a football game. Best Catholic team versus the best CPS team happens at Soldier Field where the Bears play in Chicago, for now mm-hmm. at least. So a lot of the high school bands do a battle of the bands-ish type thing inside, and they be doing it outside of the stadium. So like the Julian band director was trying to get all his kids back on the bus. And, like, they were slow to getting back on the bus, you know, doing their whole, you know, trombones, trumpets playing, and the, mm-hmm. like, cymbals still crashing and shit, because they, like, battling on the way back to the bus with other bands and shit. They want to play.
That sounds dope.
The band director ready to leave. He like, get on the bus. He go up to one of the, and these are high school kids. He go up to him, and he just straight punch his ass in the face, like, boom. Like, I said, get your ass on the bus. And I was like, oh, my what? God. Like, this, like I said, this was around 2000.
2000?
He did that shit. Like, and yeah, this was before it was cameras everywhere. But I feel like back then, people was already not doing that everywhere. People
yeah, I agree.
Some places, like, if I found out it was a high school band director out here somewhere still hitting his kids, I would be shocked.
Me too.
In 2022? Yeah. Even if it was one somewhere. Because all it takes is one kid in that classroom to pull out their phone and tape it.
Yes.
And it's always going to be somebody that don't like it. How are you going to lock in a whole group of kids to be okay with that? Somebody's not going to like it. And I've been in some close-knit bands. It's especially a big band. It's always going to be somebody that's going to be like, no, that's not cool. Even if on the surface they seem cool with it. And in fairness, it's not cool. Like those are high school
kids. Yeah. Yeah, I have a weird thing in my head where I feel like the 70s, everything started to drop off exponentially, but I know there's a long tail of this kind of bullshit going on. 2000, like you said, Jesus, that's incredible to me.
Yeah. Oh, he for sure not there no more. Like I said, he was also really porky in his 40s back then, so I doubt he alive.
You know what's crazy? And I don't want to make a big deal out of this. I just remembered, and I'd forgotten this because it was so minor, but I got struck by a teacher in second grade. We were at the religious school, and that was the last year they kept us there, and they pulled me out and put me in public school.
Oh, I got hit a lot in grammar school.
Yeah.
But in fairness, my grandma worked there, so she used to beat my ass, and she also gave at least my first grade teacher permission because this was like 1991.
Yeah.
And in fairness, I'm okay with it. I loved my grandma. And, like, that's just the way the times worked at the time. And I only got a few times where I just got a ruler a couple times in first grade. If I had kids, no, I don't want anybody doing that to my kids. No, I don't think it was necessarily right that it happened to us. But, no, I don't blame my grandparents in any way. Because that was just the way the times.
Yeah, there is a weird piece of it, of that, too. Like, we can look back and always say what was right or wrong about the past. Just as sure 50 years from now, they're going to look at this time and talk about a bunch of fucked up stuff that's going on.
Yeah, for sure. And like I said, I do think it's wrong. I don't think you shouldn't give teachers permission. And then some of the ways, some of the whoopings I get at home were a little harsh, especially for my grandparents, but they weren't real, real bad. People got worse than me, and no, I don't think it was like straight up child abuse. Like, I wouldn't characterize it as that. And also, I wasn't, like, traumatized from it. That's what I'm saying. It's like, and, like, to be honest with you, I couldn't even necessarily say somebody else wouldn't have been. And that's why I'll be like, you know what? Yeah, I do think, I'm glad that you really kind of can't do that no more.
Yeah, I got a weird, complicated relationship with the same thing. Like, I would never claim child abuse, even if on paper I could claim it for sure. Like, I don't approve of it, but I don't want to, like, bring it up on a flagpole like it's a thing.
Man, the way you make it sound, you was getting abused.
Well, my parents, on some occasions, sent me a Christmas card, unlike Dan Pothas' parents, where he sent them a Christmas card and he got nothing.
I could see that, though, with Dan Podesk, though.
So you're saying if he was your son, you wouldn't send him Christmas wishes?
Dan Podesk stopped responding when we was trying to get him on here, so fuck
him. That's a fair point.
Fuck you, Dan Podesk. Come on the show, please.
All right, so I picked the album for this week that'll replace our Takedown album, and it's MU330's Crab Rangoon, a pivotal album in their career.
I don't often run into Scott albums that I haven't heard this old that I like this much, so that was kind of cool.
This is, so the preceding albums are Press and then Chumps on Parade, which is an epic album for me. And we see a big lineup change here. The band's now smaller and is in its pretty much final form that you're going to see through the rest of the MU330 releases that have come since. Dan's now our only vocalist. We got two trombones and just a really powerful set of songs here. Turn It On was, and this is something I should know, I never looked into it. Maybe it's just on Wikipedia or whatever. But on multiple occasions, Dad made reference to Turn It On being the song that came this close to making MU330 famous. I feel like maybe they almost had some sort of TV deal related to that song.
I would have been interested in knowing that before, just to see if I would agree that that would have been the one. Because sometimes when people feel that way, you'll feel the poppiness of it. You know what I mean? Because it's like, whenever something is supposed to be the song that could have made you famous, a lot of time, it's not even your best song. It's usually just the one that, like, agrees with the masses the most.
Or has a name drop in it that's going to resonate with people.
Uh-huh, yeah, it's always just something. Like, something like that. It would have been interesting to know that the most, because I wouldn't have necessarily said that that would have been... Would you say it's one of the more poppy songs on the album?
Yeah, for sure. Is it my favorite song? Debatable, but it's one of the more poppy songs. It really capitalizes on all of, like, the just sugary goodness of third wave ska. Strong entrance, powerful horn lines, fun choruses to sing along with, a lot of, like, radical dynamic shift kind of stuff going on in the music.
Yeah, I would agree with all of that. It was a lot of power going on. Like I said, like, I was surprised. Like, this is for sure a band that you would 100% say, like, yeah, a lot of ska, even bass now, is absolutely based off of what this band sounds like and what they started to sound like. It's still bands that mimic this sound.
Oh, yeah.
Which is great. Chumps on Parade was the album that stuck out with me the most. So, like, that's when I got a lot of, and, like, we talked about it before, it's, like, a lot of the music that we cover, well, a lot of alternative music just hit me late, so, you know, I'm still learning about a lot of it over time, because I didn't get to it till, like, I was, like, 16 at all, so, like, all these bands hit me at once. And I have familiarity with a lot of them, but, like, sometimes it'll just be an album or two. I've heard some of these songs for sure, but never did a whole listen to this album. And if I did, you know, I can't reference it. Like, I know I didn't own this one for sure.
Oh, I also forgot to mention this is Jerry Lundquist's first album as he moves over from Skankapickle to MU330.
Oh, congratulations, Jerry. We haven't done Skankapickle, have we?
No. I got to pick a Skankapickle album soon.
We at least have to talk about the one song.
The one song? Oh, yeah, of course. I know the one song. Listeners will have to wait.
Make them wait.
When this came out, this was at a time when they started playing Chicago hard. I swear to God, they were here 3 or 4 times a year, almost always at the Fireside Bowl. What else to say about Crab Rangoon? Let's see.
I was trying to remember which one is my favorite.
That's a good question.
I don't think it was Fragile. My list is being weird, but I also did like Ireland a lot.
You know what? Ireland is a fun song. I think the drummer wrote the lyrics. I think they said that one time.
What was your favorite?
Dude, that's like picking a child you like the most, which right now is the oldest nephew because he's the only active musician. He's playing the trombone, so he's officially the favorite. But, you know, that can change. Man, Then or Now. Jason's a good song. I guess I'm just going to keep it clean and say Organic Gun. It has all of the great, like, third wave hook moments. It's a very classic MU sound. We get kind of a feature of just about everybody in the band. Cut it off, cut it off. It'd be so simple if you cut it off. I agree. What's going on with that Sharpie?
I'm clearly writing that.
Thanks for tuning in to Six Wings Fried Hard. Our theme song is New Orleans Funeral by Run and Punch. Oh, oh, oh.